You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
If your chesty Rotterman was playing with a biscotti and a rattle and a bochi and weagle were watching, would you be concerned? Or would you even know what I was talking about? No, I'm not speaking a pidgin English. I was describing several designer dogs. A chesty Chihuahua and West Highland White Terrier mix. Rotterman, Doberman Pinscher and Rottweiler, biscotti, Basset Hound and Scottish Terrier. What do you think a rattle is? American Rat Terrier and Poodle. Bochi, Boston Terrier and Chihuahua, and a Weagle, Beagle and Soft-Coated Wheaton Terrier. We used to call them mutts. Now they have their own registry, the International Designer Canine Registry, and hefty price tags to their acquisition. How would you determine your dog's lineage? Does it even matter? My guest, veterinarian geneticist for Mars Animal Health, Dr. Angela Hughes, will give us the details behind the science of DNA testing for dogs. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Introducing the new Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Hughes, thank you very much for being with us. You and I chatted a couple of years ago, and now there's some real changes going on with this DNA testing. Tell me, what is going on now? What's so different?
Well, you and I last spoke about our breed analysis with Wisdom Panel, and we've been working in the last year or two with Royal Canin to build an even bigger and better product. So for our veterinary consumers, we've designed a test that covers over 250 different breeds, types, and varieties to identify the breed ancestry of a dog, which I know, as you mentioned earlier, everybody's very keen to understand. But also we've packed it with nutritional information based on the breeds identified, the age of the dog, the health concerns that your veterinarian can work with you on to determine the best nutritional plan for your individual dog. And we've included 13 direct mutation tests to look for diseases that might be of concern, as well as 27 different health pre-screens that can be identified depending on the breeds found in your dog as well. So it's a well-rounded test to look at a lot of different aspects to help you and your veterinarian guide an individual care and wellness and nutrition plan for your dog.
Thank you for bringing this up, Dr. Hughes, because initially I was going to say most people think of Royal Canin as being a food company, and here you are doing DNA testing. So the kind of overarching concept concern is going to be nutrition and general health?
Absolutely. Royal Canin's idea is to really drive the concept of individualized nutrition. Understand what it is that each individual dog and cat needs and develop food and diet plans for those animals. They were founded originally in 1968 by a veterinarian who identified a lot of skin issues in his patients and felt that he could create a diet that was going to better address those issues. So that's really been the long-term goal and drive of Royal Canin. And they're now realizing that incorporating genetic testing to develop that individualized plan is really the wave of the future.
genetic testing, I think most people, you know, think of the crime shows and they have this piece of DNA, however they get it. And then they can say, ah, yes, you know, the perpetrator of this crime was actually related to the uncle of this person over here. How are you doing this test?
Very similar in many senses. We are collecting a DNA sample through a blood sample drawn at the veterinarian's office. That gets sent over to our laboratory where we extract the DNA for 321 markers to identify breed ancestry and then an additional 26 markers to look at specific diseases. So we extract that DNA, we run these very high-level tests, and then we have a computer algorithm that analyzes over 7 million calculations for each dog to figure out what the best combination of breeds in that dog's ancestry is. And then that information is collated into two reports, one that goes out to the client, to the owner directly, so they can understand the ancestry and the nutritional needs of their dog, as well as a separate report that goes to the veterinarian that has all the health information in addition to the ancestry and nutritional needs, so that you guys can have a conversation around what is particularly important for Fluffy or Rascal.
So looking at this DNA testing, you had mentioned that you go to your veterinarian, they take a blood sample. But again, if we look back at these crime shows, they'll take a bubblegum wrapper or somebody spit out some gum, and they're using DNA that they've extracted from there. I know going online, looking at various DNA tests that they have for dogs, some that you can get at your big box store, there's different ways of doing it. So if you kind of explain to people what are the different ways that DNA can be tested and why Royal Canin has gone to using blood, the wisdom panel.
You are correct. There are different ways that you can get DNA samples. You can get them from cheek swabs, which is what you'll find in most over-the-counter DNA tests of any variety. You can also collect DNA, like we talked about, from a blood sample. There, they're collecting the DNA specifically out of the white blood cells, so your immune-related cells are the ones that have the DNA in them. And you can, quite honestly, get DNA from shed skin cells or occasionally hair cells and such, or hairs from the dog, even, quite honestly, from urine and feces. But that gets a lot more difficult and a lot more technical. So the two
and probably
main
a lot
ways,
more expensive.
And a lot more expensive, absolutely. The two main ways to do it are through the cheek swab and through the blood sample. Now, Royal Canin has chosen to go with the blood sample because that is the best way to get a really good quality DNA sample that we know is not contaminated, that's representative only of that dog and not, say, of whatever happened to be in his mouth at the time, that sort of thing. So while we can get a great DNA sample from a cheek swab, it does end up tending to be a little bit more variable depending on the owner and the dog and how well they're able to collect that DNA sample. Whereas with a blood sample, we get a really high quality sample nearly every single time. It's really, that bit of it is taken out of the equation. We know we're going to get a good sample, so we can focus on just doing the analysis and giving the most accurate and detailed information.
Dr. Hughes, you'd also mentioned that you're testing 250 different breeds. I know if we go online, there is just a plethora of breeds. AKC recognizes some. In Europe, there's other breeds. I've gone to some dog shows going, I've never seen one of those before. So what happens if you have, you know, these 250 breeds? You do your testing, but, your dog's ancestry somehow's not one of those 250. Does that happen?
It can happen. It usually doesn't, we don't see that too commonly with dogs out of the United States. We've done a very good job of covering the breeds within the United States, including things like the Catahoula leopard dog and the rat terrier and such like that, that aren't necessarily fully AKC recognized at this point in time. They're working towards it, but they aren't quite there. Occasionally, we'll see dogs that are brought over from places like Taiwan or the Caribbean, that sort of thing, in which case, I don't know. It could be that it's got a local breed that we don't presently cover, or quite honestly, in many cases, it's likely that the dog is just, you know, many, many generations of mixed Taiwanese street dog. And so that's not, you know, something that we can directly identify at this point in time. So we do, you know, have some disclaimers. One of them is certainly dogs that are from foreign lines and foreign ancestry probably aren't going to have the greatest results on the test because we are trying to identify signatures, DNA signatures that relate to primarily dogs from the United States, Canada, Western Europe, and Australia, where we've created our database from.
So with all of these DNA samples from various breeds of dogs, how did Royal Canin ever get these 250 different breed samples? I mean, that's a lot of animals to put into a database.
It is. We have about 10,000 purebred dogs that are in our active database. We've tested, many thousands more, but these are the ones that we consider the gold standard representatives of their breed. And those samples have been collected over many years through different drives, so to speak. So within the United States, it started at a lot of AKC shows, as well as through many veterinary clinics that were willing to help us collect samples from their purebred patients. We did collection in conjunction with the Kennel Club over in the UK, where we sent out swab samples and collected from their purebred population. And then we've worked with labs down in Australia to collect purebred samples from down there. So it's various patchworks, as well as working with many breed clubs to collect samples to create tests specifically for their breed.
And you keep talking about dogs, and everything I've read has been DNA testing for dogs. Well, I have cats, and I would love to know what my little domestic short hair is. Is there a way of doing DNA testing for cats?
There is presently a test available through UC Davis. The Veterinary Genetics Laboratory at UC Davis does have a test available. It's a little bit different. Cats are unique, not surprising, in that many of the breeds have been created within the last, half century or so. Whereas dog breeds, we have about 400 plus dog breeds recognized worldwide. Many of them have been around for hundreds, if not even thousands of years. So it's a little bit different in the dog world than it is in the cat world, where a lot of these breeds were created in the last few decades, and many times they're a single DNA change from a different breed. So your Himalayan is really a pointed Persian. Your exotic is a short-coated Persian. Your Selkirk Rex is a curly-coated Persian. So they find a cool mutation, and then they usually apply it to the background of another known breed to create something a little bit different and new. And so it's a little bit harder. We don't have the time frame for each of these breeds to create really distinctive signatures, and we don't have quite as much variation in between breeds that we can see oftentimes in the dog breeds. So there is testing available. It's a little bit different in its means and application, and quite honestly can't get quite as in-depth, and obviously isn't going to find as many breeds because there just aren't any as many breeds in the cat world as there is in the dog. And many times a lot of the cats that we own are just, domestic short-haired bred to domestic short-haired bred to domestic short-hair.
And they're cute, so we'll just go with that.
They're adorable. Exactly.
Yes, that's all that matters, just like our dogs. It just doesn't matter in some respects. What happens, and I know I've had clients, this has happened to them, where they've done a DNA test, like the wisdom test. We've got good information going, yes, this does look like a Bichon mixed with a Rottweiler. Crazy things happen. But they have their dog retested, and the results come out differently. How does that happen?
So there used to be a couple of different tests on the market, and each test used different DNA markers and a different analysis and a different database. So depending on if they tested against one of the competitors, they can certainly see differences. And to be perfectly honest, the competitors didn't always provide information on what markers they were testing or how they were doing it. So I can't speak directly to that. However, if folks have run a wisdom panel analysis in the past and now running the genetic health analysis through Royal Canin, we do have a lot of the same information, and we can compare between both samples. In fact, our computer will recognize that it's seen it before, pop it up and say, I've seen this sample before, and this is what we reported before, and this is what we're reporting now. And so those actually trigger a review by a geneticist, typically myself. And we look at all of that information and we say, okay, are we getting new information from new markers? So sometimes the DNA samples will vary slightly in quality, or we may be analyzing the test with a new algorithm, because we do every year work to improve things, and we add breeds to our database. So we may have a new set of breeds available. And so we take all of that information into account, and we provide the client with the new best analysis of all of their data. And we do actually put a little bit of a letter on there to say, hey, we've seen this before. Here you go. Here's some new information. And you may notice some slight changes depending on, like I said, the DNA, the algorithm that we're presently using, or the database.
I'm speaking right now with Dr. Angela Hughes from Royal Canin. And we, again, going back to watching TV and seeing these crime shows, they have a DNA sample. They send it in going, we need a rush on this, George. We need to have it in an hour. And it seems to magically appear in an hour. How long does it take Yes. How long does it take the fastest machine? How long does it take your lab to go ahead and analyze and get that information back to the pet owner and veterinarian?
So we typically say that once the sample arrives at the lab, it can take up to 2 to 3 weeks to get the reports back. However, if everything, all the stars align, we do a batch processing in the lab. So if your sample happens to make it into, you know, the batch the day it arrives, that sort of thing, we can turn out a sample in approximately 3 to 4 days. That is the absolute fastest because it does take many, many steps. We have to run one, you have to extract the DNA from the cells, so that's one step there that takes several hours. Then you also have to run 2 different PCR reactions on the sample to get the DNA markers that we're looking at to amplify or make, you know, millions and millions of copies of them so that we can go on to the next step of processing, which is called a mass spec. And in the mass spec, if you have listeners that are avid NCIS watchers, you know, they've heard of major mass spec, which is great. But needless to say, what the mass spec does is it throws the DNA and it sees how far it can fly and how fast it flies. And based on that, it can figure out how much that piece of DNA weighs. And the weight tells us which base, which bit of DNA is in that piece. And therefore, we can get what your dog's genetic code is. It's pretty darn cool. But needless to say, that takes generally at least 3 to 4 days. If all goes right and we can get your sample run right away from the moment it hits the lab, you can get your results back pretty quickly. But typically, because of the volumes that we're working with, it does take a week or two, if not three, to get through everything and then do all of the analysis of the DNA on the back end to figure out which breeds and to put your report together.
So we shouldn't believe everything we see on TV.
Right. Well, they certainly are going to be working with slightly different techniques. And your most basic PCR analysis, if you have your DNA extracted, might be done in 2 hours or so. But then you actually have to analyze the DNA, so that takes a few more hours. So when they say, oh, I'll stand here and wait for my DNA results, I'm like, oh, you'll be there until tomorrow. Don't waste your time.
Well, I'm talking right now to Dr. Angela Hughes, and she's with Royal Canin, and we're talking about wisdom test, how you can find out what your dog is genetically, who's it related to, but also we're learning some very important health issues, so they can now do genetic health analysis. We'll be right back after the short break and talk about what we can learn from your dog's DNA and how it relates to its health. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robin Gansert, President and CEO of American Humane Association, the country's first national humane organization, here to tell you about our new show, Be Humane, on Pet Life Radio. Each week, we'll be bringing you the latest news and issues affecting our animal friends, and we'll also be bringing you interviews with Hollywood's biggest animal advocates, here to share tales about their pets and what they're doing to promote a more humane world. Our own highly experienced staff and friends of the organization will also join us each week to share what they're up to in the animal world. I hope you'll stop by. Until then, let's always remember to be humane.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Hughes, this has all been fascinating, and I'm amazed sometimes at what veterinarians can do and what we're learning. Science has gone in so many different directions. So now you can say that my dog is a mix of these various breeds, and how does that relate to its health? I do know, for instance, and most people listening, if you have a Rottweiler, it's more prone to having certain joint issues. And if you have a King Charles Spaniel, it's more prone to having heart issues. What are you learning? What else are you learning?
Those are some excellent examples. And what we're learning, though, is with mixed breed dogs, a lot of times some of these mutations, some of these genetic diseases can be passed down. But if you don't know your dog's ancestry, you don't know necessarily what to be looking for or be prepared for. And so having that roadmap, having some idea that it is a Rottweiler crossed with a Cavalier King Charles means that you're going to pay attention not only to your dog's joints, but also to their heart. And keeping a closer eye on those things, you'll pick up on them sooner and be able to deal with them more quickly and hopefully avoid some of the pain and agony of A, figuring out what's going on, and then B, the suffering that your dog has to go through. So in my own example, my dog is a Cocker Spaniel Maltese and Gamish dog. Some of him is mixed beyond three generations. But needless to say, when he was about 5 years old, he had an episode of scratching violently at his face. And he had been playing with some toys, so I thought he was choking. And I raced him into the veterinary hospital, and we took x-rays of his chest looking for the foreign body that he had choked on and didn't find anything. And we were just scratching our heads trying to figure out what the heck was wrong. Well, 6 months later, unfortunately, I was out of town and a friend was watching him. He had a full grand mal on the floor, full body seizure. Huh. And that was when I went, that first one was probably just a focal facial seizure. He had a little seizure in his face and it was weird and he was scratching at it. But needless to say, we went on later to diagnose him with epilepsy, and he's been treated now for well over 10 years. Successfully, knock on wood. but needless to say, had I known his ancestry at the time, this was several years prior to when the DNA tests were available for breed, had I known that he was a Cocker Spaniel mix, epilepsy might have been on our radar, because Cocker Spaniels unfortunately have an inherited form of epilepsy. So it's just some additional information to give you some ideas of things to pay attention to and work towards to keep your dog healthy over the course of their lives. And then if something were to happen, to give you that extra guidance to say maybe you should be looking at some of these more unusual things that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise.
Dr. Hughes, what are some of the other health conditions that are flagged?
So several of the diseases that we test for are like hyperuricosuria, and that is a very interesting disease in that it causes stone formation in the bladder. It's found most commonly in Dalmatians, but it's also seen in a lot of the bully breeds, so Bulldogs, American Staffordshire Terriers, even Russell Terriers and Parson Russell Terriers. So that's something that can come up even in mixed breed dogs, so that's one that's very important. We also pre-screen for several diseases. One of those is the ivermectin sensitivity mutation, and that's a patented DNA test, so it's run only at Washington State University. But what we do is we look at your dog's DNA, and if we find a breed of concern on chromosome 14 where that mutation sits, we flag it for you. We tell your veterinarian, hey, this dog is a collie mix, and collie contributed chromosome 14, so you need to pay attention to this and talk to your client about having further testing done or avoiding those medications that could be a concern.
Right now I know, yes, does it look like a collie, and ivermectin is used as a parasiticide, getting rid of certain types of parasites, but you know, does it really have white paws? Does it really look like a collie? Do I give this medication and cross my paws and hope that everything's okay? And now that there's a test, and oh, that is just awesome. What other things does it look for?
Exercise-induced collapse is another one that we pre-screen for. That test is performed at the University of Minnesota. And again, a lot of the retriever breeds, as well as a couple other breeds you wouldn't think about, like the corgis. But needless to say, a lot of the retriever breeds have this mutation that can cause the dogs that under moderate to heavy exercise can literally collapse and have to cool off and kind of get their wits about them again before they can carry on. And unfortunately, it can be lethal. So it's another thing that would be very important to know about so that you can do something, i.e., you know, make sure your dog doesn't get overly worked up when you're playing with them, so that you can avoid having problems with exercise-induced collapse.
I think we get so many people concerned. You are pregnant and you want to see how the baby's doing. You do certain DNA testing and you find out that the baby has a certain genetic marker. Oh my goodness, is the baby going to be severely affected, not affected? How do people interpret what these tests are saying? Because it can be very disconcerting that, oh my goodness, my dog has this particular marker.
Right. And that's why we really want the veterinarians to be involved in interpreting and helping clients understand this. And we've been very clear in our reports for the veterinarian to say, okay, this is what the disease is. Because sometimes we are dealing with diseases that veterinarians don't come across every day. And then also to be very clear in what we consider the next steps. So, you know, Barney has one copy of the exercise-induced collapse mutation. This is a recessive disorder, therefore he should not suffer from any ill effects. However, if you want, you know, further information, you can contact the Minnesota group to go for further testing and information. That information can be translated by the veterinarian to the client to help them get a better sense of what really they need to pay attention to and be concerned with. Many times with mixed breed dogs, you might get one copy of one of these mutations, but since they're recessive, oftentimes recessive disorders, that's not a concern. Now, the ivermectin sensitivity mutation, that is a semi-dominant trait. So if you get one copy of the mutation, you can have problems. And if you get two copies, then you can have major problems. So that's one that you really want to pay attention to, even if there's only one copy. Boxer cardiomyopathy is another example of a semi-dominant, where one copy can still cause the dog problems, two copies, potentially worse problems. So really important that the veterinarian's involved in this conversation to really help the client understand the information and how to apply that to make their dog healthier.
Now, right now, we've been really talking about mixed breed dogs, but knowing that you received your samples from going to breed clubs and having purebred dogs, some people might listen going, oh, well, we could use this then to test our dogs because I have a Doberman prone to having certain types of heart problems, bleeding problems also. So if I do this testing, I can then remove all of this particular line from breeding and then I'm improving the breed. But there's fallacies with pulling all of dogs of a particular lineage genetic issue from a breed line. Could you kind of talk about that a little bit as to penetration of science, etc.?
Yeah, that's a very good point. We were actually just having this conversation the other night with a South Dakota Wheaton breeder. There are certainly mutations that are identified in a population where it is a large portion of that breed. Even if it isn't a very large portion, even if it's, you know, 5 or 10%, if you remove that 5 or 10%, you are going to be impacting the diversity, the genetic diversity of the rest of the population and limiting it further. So I like to think of purebred dogs really as an endangered species. Yeah. Each individual breed is its own, you know, endangered species, essentially, and we have to work to protect the genetic diversity across that entire breed and not just look at one single disease. So as I like to quote Dr. Paula Henthorne from the University of Pennsylvania, genetic testing really shouldn't determine who's bred, but who they breed to. So if you have a really great dog that might have one genetic mutation, if we have a genetic test and we can identify potential mates that are clear otherwise and that would be good partners based on all of their other health information and family information and such, those two dogs would make a great pair and could carry on and not lose a large portion of the genetic diversity that is still contained in the dogs that have that mutation. So it's really important that we breed and replace. So we use these tests to identify which mates to put together, and then we take their puppies and we can test those dogs and hopefully find one that's clear and doesn't carry the mutation to carry on that line. But we don't want to just cut out a large swath of the genetic diversity and population in one fell swoop.
Great. Well, knowing that there are several areas of the United States that have breed bans, which I think is a horrible thing. Some of the nicest dogs I've ever met have been pit bulls, and some of the stinkers have been chihuahuas. But we know that certain breeds get a very bad reputation. And I know there are insurance companies and apartments, etc., that will not sell insurance, won't rent you an apartment, if you have one of these breeds that are banned, they said, okay, well, your dog looks like an X. You need to have DNA testing to prove to me that it is not. Is that really something fair for this testing to do?
Well, it's certainly a concern. Our testing is intended for, you know, the health benefits and for, you know, quite honestly, the entertainment. People want to know what their family members' ancestry is and why they behave certain ways and look certain ways. There is a trend, like you said, towards using these tests to identify breeds that might be banned. I will say that visual identification is only about 25% accurate based on studies. So, to be honest with you, I'd rather put the dog up against a DNA analysis than an ID by visual assessment, because I think the dog has a much better chance of getting the correct answer. A boxer mix could look very much like a quote-unquote pit bull and, you know, therefore be potentially lumped in and have problems as a result of that appearance, when in fact they have, you know, a whole different, well, somewhat different personality type and and quite honestly, significant medical concerns that we really need to know about, because we will, from a veterinary perspective, treat a boxer mix very differently than we would just your average, you know, bully breed mix. So that being said, it's something that I've seen coming more and more to the forefront. It's going to depend in part on each jurisdiction as to whether the DNA testing is admissible and that sort of thing. So right now we're taking it on a case-by-case basis.
What other advances is Royal Canin have in the works for this wisdom test?
Well, certainly we're always looking to push the bounds of technology, and we're always working to increase our database, because, you know, we've got well over 200 breeds, but there's about 400 breeds worldwide, so we're continuing to expand our database of breeds. We're looking at expanding our database of genetic mutations and pre-screens that we can offer to clients. And then also working to couple that information with additional recommendations around nutrition and veterinary care to make the most of this information moving forward, so that you can have the happiest and healthiest puppy in your family for many years to come.
And with all this information, I know the pet owner gets a certain report, the veterinarian gets a certain report. If the pet owner goes, I don't understand this, and my veterinarian is confusing me, sometimes we do that. Where can they go to get information that is reputable instead of Dr. Google online?
Yes, it's very keen to make sure that folks can get accurate information. We do have a website, royalcaninGHA.com, and they can also reach out to our customer service teams to get more information as well.
So here we have this great test. I can learn so much. Some of it's entertainment. Some of it's definitely medical. Some is related to nutrition. Where do they get this test? Do they have to order it online? How do they get it?
So this is a veterinary exclusive product, and because there is a blood sample required, the veterinarian and their clinic needs to be involved, obviously. So we recommend that folks reach out to their veterinarians, and the kits are available through Royal Canin at this time, and the veterinarian either has it on hand or can order it through Royal Canin, draw that blood sample for the client, and send it in.
And I know it's going to vary throughout the United States, but the suggested retail price?
Suggested retail price, to your point, it's going to depend on each individual clinic, but typically around $130.
That's not bad.
No.
That's excellent. I've been chatting right now with Dr. Angela Hughes. She's with Royal Canin, learning some great information about the wisdom test. So this is a wonderful way of learning more about your pet and allowing you to be the best possible pet owner that you can be. Do appreciate you listening in today. If you have any questions, always the best person to ask is your individual veterinarian, but you can also drop us a line here at Pet Life Radio. And if there's something in particular that you want to learn about, let me know and I'll try to get it on air for you. So this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz with The Pet Doctor. Thank you so much for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.